Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Corporate Chopper and I'm joined by Randy Andy Datson.
Hi Chopper. How are you? My internet's better this week, I think.
It is, yeah. I'm doing okay, mate. I'm fine. I had a few days off this week, so I had a bit of a recharge again, even though I just had time off recently. Needed another recharge, so I had it. And yeah, I'm feeling all right.
I think everyone needs multiple recharges this year.
Yeah, definitely.
We've been writing all the end of year lists recently for the YouTube and for the website, and it's just been like, that was this year?
Yeah.
So, looking forward to the end of this one.
It's weird because it's getting towards the end of 2020 now, and I'm like, I can't believe it's still 2020, but also 2021's kind of come quick. It's like, it's really strange because I'm like, it feels like I've been in lockdown forever, but also it feels like I've just started lockdown. It's weird.
It really has felt like this is going to be the year when we are old and gray, where we're going to say to our grandkids, you didn't live through 2020, as if it was kind of, as if we lived through the war. This is our war.
Yeah, it is.
But should we talk about SmackDown and we can
talk
nonsense off?
Yes. So first thing we're going to be talking about for this review when we jump in is going to be Carmella debuting a brand new entrance. She obviously just has her new character that she's had for a few weeks. And now she's got a brand new entrance on this show. So let's talk about it. First things first on SmackDown. Sasha Banks came out to do a contract signing with Carmella for the SmackDown Women's Championship match at TLC. So she comes down to the ring and she goes to sign the contract, but there's no contract in the folder. Adam Pearce, not the GM Adam Pearce. How not could you not see that? Oh, fool. So Banks immediately is just like, wait, is this some sort of trick? Did Carmella put you up to this? And Carmella comes on the Titantron and just says, I've got the contract, I've signed it, and I'm gonna get my sommelier.
Pete didn't know what a sommelier was, and it's genuinely like, it's an incredibly difficult job because there are these things called, and this is boring, this is to do SmackDown, but I'll talk for 20 seconds here. You can think there are like different levels of sommelier, and when you become like a master sommelier, to do the test, when you drink wine, you have to be able to tell the person like examining you which region of the world that grape was grown in. And you just basically have to know every single wine in the world. I don't think this guy did that, but he was there.
And also, I don't know that because I'm not a Ponzi twat. So this sommelier that Carmella now has, that is a wine waiter. I didn't know that. I had literally had to Google it.
Wine expert. You can do it at university.
Sure. He then takes out the contract to Sasha, who's still in the ring, so she can sign it as well. Basically just like a power play from Carmella, just to be like, you're doing it on my terms. But then Sasha flips the tables, literally and figuratively, by saying, JK, I make the rules. Why don't we do the title match tonight instead? And then Carmella's like, okay. And then Sasha just beats up the wine guy, sommelier.
Wine guy? I thought that was you, because you wine so much.
That's true, I do that. Yeah, then she beats him up and then throws the table over him. I was like, okay, so Carmella's got a dude now who's going to get beaten up a lot.
Yes. So Sasha has taken Stephanie's role of emasculating people. It's not too bad. Like, I don't think this is going to be like Carmella's manager or something. I think this is just for it, I think it was, they worked back from she likes to drink champagne. Also, it would be cool if we got one of those sugar glass bottles and smashed it over Sasha. Why would she just have one? Oh, let's give her a sommelier.
I don't mind if he becomes a recurring character that's just there to get beaten up. That's fine. It can be a little cheap at times if they overdo it, but it could be okay, potentially. Less of a manager and more just a dude who's there. But then this went into the main event, which was that SmackDown Women's title match. Holy crap, guys, we're getting it tonight instead of at TLC. Wow, they're just moving the TLC match forward. No, they're not, because this one ended in DQ. But I will say, I went into this because I already have my own preconceptions of what I think of Carmella as a wrestler. But I was like, you know what? She's had lots of time off, new character. She debuted this brand new entrance, which we'll get into in a second. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to forget everything I know about Carmella. And I'm going to judge her based on this match and this entrance and this character and see if I like connect to it, because I wasn't the biggest fan of Carmella beforehand. So for her entrance that she made, it kind of was just like a snapshot of load of like model shoots and stuff like that, kind of flashing through different shots, her with like a cage and doing like the zooming into her face. And she does some like sexy hand movements and stuff. And then it cuts to kind of this big, like, she's got like her silhouette is being projected onto like this white screen. She's got like a spotlight and she's doing some sexy dancing behind it. And then the sheet drops and then she's there and makes her entrance. I thought it was quite cool, honestly. I thought it was quite good. It really puts over her new character, which I will say she's doing a really good job of. I think she's portraying this character much more comfortably than she did her last one. I can connect to it a lot more than her last one.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
It's actually like, it feels much more like a gimmick than her old one, because her old one was money. Look, I am
or
money.
Flossing.
I have clothes. I have money on my clothes, not just I have clothes. that's not a gimmick. But yeah, it feels like she's really kind of, but they're buying into her character. They've given her a new entrance. And like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a new entrance. But a new entrance is massive for a lot of people. I mean, imagine if Karrion Kross, for example, debuted in NXT with a less cool entrance.
Yeah.
Then he wouldn't have been nearly as over as he was, especially during lockdown when it's really hard to get over as a new character. That entrance made him immediately one of the top three guys in NXT. Okay. And I'm not saying Carmella's now one of the top three people on the main roster, but it's a really big change for her.
And it's like it's a big kind of over the top entrance. It's got a lot of production value to it. And generally when WWE puts that much effort into something like that, you can tell kind of the gist of where they think this person stacks on the roster. It's not always exactly right, you know, Bobby Roode, but you know, it does generally, for now at least, you can tell that they're actually getting invested in Carmella as a character. And like you said, just harping on your point of big entrances kind of making characters, even stuff like, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura, like he was already, of course, a massive star and the crowd were going to love him regardless. But just having that amazing entrance at TakeOver Dallas and the crowd just go, oh my God, they've done Shinsuke Nakamura right. oh my God, it just like, it sold everyone on Nakamura, and people who hadn't seen him before immediately got it. And they were like, I know this. I get this.
I imagine that's exactly what happened last night with Carmella fans at home. Like, oh my God, they've finally done and cut. But yeah, so that's great. And they've really done good work on that. What's not great is that I knew before this match started that it was going to be a DQ, because who else are they going to have Sasha Banks face at TLC, because it's in a week and a half?
Yeah.
I don't like going into a match knowing that no one's going to win, or that the person who's going to win won't really win, because what's going to happen? I mean, Carmella won, which was weird, given the.
Let's talk about this. So first things first, the match itself, I thought was pretty decent action.
Yeah.
I thought there was some really nice wrestling. Up to a point, yeah. I thought there was a really nice wrestling. There was one bit in particular where there was a really cool transition from a pin into the code of silence into a bank statement. That whole transitional scene, I was like, that's really smooth. That was really, really good. I think, yeah, Carmella's improved in the ring. It was clear to see that. I'm not saying she's like amazing or anything now, but she's definitely better than she was before. Stop doing the merry-go-round though. It's the worst. But she's good. And I really enjoyed the in-ring action in the match. Then it gets to a point where the bank statement is in. The wine man comes over and throws a champagne bottle at Sasha Banks. I was like, where's the DQ for that one? That's outside interference right there.
Yeah.
Weird.
I mean, that could kill her. If that hits her in the head, in non-kayfabe, a wine bottle to the head, that's possible death.
Pretty bad, yeah. Okay. Sure, no DQ for that, whatever. Sasha Banks, let's go with the bank statement, goes out to the sommelier and is just like, what are you doing, you idiot? And starts to chase him around the ring. Fine, I was like, okay, so Carmella's going to get the upper hand when Sasha gets back in the ring. She's going to like stamp on her and whatever. That's fine. No, Banks gets in the ring. Carmella goes to hit her, and then Banks just gets on top again, throws Carmella into the corner, and then beats her up for longer than the referee's 5 count. I was like, why did you do that, Sasha?
Well, attempted murder. It would, like, yeah, I just, yeah, it was very silly. It was like, it was very, very classic WWE booking. It was the outside interference. Maybe he was supposed to throw a white towel in to have Carmella give up, and then he accidentally threw the wine bottle. but yeah, so Sasha then gets herself disqualified, which doesn't put anyone over, because it makes Sasha look just like an angry baby face or kind of someone who threw a tantrum, and it looks like it makes Carmella look like just, I don't know, someone who can't win without help.
Exactly. And this was the second time on this show that the baby face has gotten angry about something in a match, and then they've looked really dumb coming out the end of it. And if you want to do it where it's going to be a DQ finish, you shouldn't have a DQ finish in the first place. So you shouldn't be booking this match. But if you are doing it and you're booking this match and you want it to be a DQ finish, at the very least, have Carmella be the one that gets DQ'd. Like, I don't get why you wouldn't do that. And you also have the setup. I don't get why you wouldn't follow through.
Also, if you're going to do the wine bottle smash spot at the end, don't already ruin it by doing it beforehand. Have him just, I don't know, grab her leg, pull her out the ring, trip her up, grab Carmella's leg, put it on the rope, something like that. Because then that wine bottle smash spot, which is really a really cool visual, but looks so much better.
Exactly.
But we're sort of moaning as we do, but actually, I'd want to focus on the fact that they've kind of repackaged Carmella properly, and that while at the start I was like, oh, this feud's rubbish because all she's doing is running in and kicking someone in the face, they have turned the corner on it a bit, and I still don't think Carmella's got any chance of winning, or if she does, then she won't be champion for more than a week, depending on where Charlotte Flair goes, I suppose. I'm glad that they're doing something with the SmackDown Women's roster in some sense, because as we saw other words on the show, they're just like, have a match.
So
at least the main event scene is something.
Yes. And I will say, yeah, that final spot to end the show, Carmella gets a wine bottle and smashes it over Sasha. Really cool visual, like you said. She stands tall at the end of it. I don't get why that, because that really, like, that gets Carmella over. That's a really cool visual. That's something that people can latch onto. That's something that's going to pop a crowd or the audience that's watching at home. It's do that in a contract signing. There's no need to have this be a women's title match that's going to end in a DQ, because that damages the actual match that you're going to do at TLC. I understand why they did it, because they can advertise and say, coming up tonight, you should really tune in to SmackDown because we've got a SmackDown women's title match. But if you're not going to follow through on an actual proper title match, then that's just really lame.
Hey, Pete, I've got a spot for next Sunday, which is definitely happening.
Mm.
The sommelier is going to be there. And there's going to be a table full covered in wine glasses, and either he or Carmella is probably going to go through a table of sugar glass wine.
Yeah,
that's my goal.
I've got another spot that's going to happen. Carmella's going to win.
Yeah,
as my hot take, Carmella's going to win, and everyone's going to be really mad about it because Sasha didn't have a long reign.
I was having this discussion with a couple of guys yesterday, which is, are there any fandoms in the world who hate the thing they love as much as wrestling fans? Kayfabe News did a thing yesterday on, like, wrestling fan hates wrestling. I can't remember what it is. Lifelong wrestling fan hates wrestling more than any other human in the world. But then someone suggested Star Wars, and I went, oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are a $25 and above pledge Amazon Patreon. If you've not been to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. Coming up soon, next week, we're going to have WrestleTalk Extra, where Luke and Ollie are going to be reviewing Vengeance 2001, which is the night where Chris Jericho became the undisputed champion, beating The Rock and Stone Cold in the same night. What a show. So yeah, they're going to be reviewing that next week. So expect that next week at the $5 tier and above. If you pledge at the $25 tier or above, you get your own custom wrestling nickname and it gets read out on a show much like this one. So thank you to Tower of London, Nigel Morris. Woo! Woo! Thank you very much.
Former star athlete, now head coach, Lendell Brentson.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. Pierce Redbeard Rowan.
Woo. Oh, yeah. They drew first blood, not me, Grace Rambo.
Woo, yes, thank you very much. The monster. The monster among patrons, Brian Strowman.
What a monster. How do you like them apples, Marcel Dura?
Ooh, yeah, thank you very much. The Harbinger Doom Lion. Woo!
Oh, thank what you. A cool name. Nick Bitchin Kitchen.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. Super Kick Party! Andy Buckley. Woo! Ooh, thank you.
Great name. We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Yes, we are. Thank you very much. The Fig... Why can't I talk today?
The Figness.
The Fitness Consigliere, Scott Michel. Woo!
Yeah, thank you very much. And finally... Are we not drunk? Robin Banks, Lee Roberts.
Ooh, yes, thank you very much. A good way to top and tail the show, if a little convoluted and some of the booking was poor. However, some of the other bits I thought were not also very good. One bit that was actually one of the better bits was Montez Ford versus Dolph Ziggler, which happened after the opening segment, which was Street Profits in gorilla position. They cut a Street Profits promo, same as usual. They came out and Dolph Ziggler actually cut a pretty good promo, I thought. There was a couple of lines that actually like sort of popped me. It was like, you said last week that I'm a poor man's Shawn Michaels. Well, that doesn't make any sense because I'm rich as hell. I was like, that's dumb, but I really like it. And then what was it? He did a pun, including his hair as well, which I didn't write down, but it was funny.
It must have been so good because I also did not write it down. I didn't like his hat. I don't know why, but
you hate the SmackDown hat.
No, I just got MAGA vibes, and I was like, I don't like that hat.
But it's blue, Andy.
It is blue. I don't know. What he looks like is a paparazzi from like a 2004 chick flick film. Mm-hmm. Kind of. He would run in wearing that cap with a giant camera. That's what I got.
Sounds about right. And because it's a Street Profits match, well, in this case, a Montez Ford match, the commentary has to remind you that they love to have fun.
Mm.
Who doesn't love to have fun? It's the point of fun. If you're having fun, you like having fun.
Isn't that the Lucha House Party's gimmick?
It's everyone's gimmick who is a babyface, who is mildly comedic or like slightly unusual. They love to have fun. Lucha House Party, Street Profits, New Day.
Yes, but yeah, the match was good, but then it turned into two guys, loads of cups, and I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, this was so weird. So just before it cuts to an ad break, Montez Ford grabs one of the blue solo cups that he's got now, and then he kind of like holds it up like he does in his pose. Street Profits music starts playing, and then a load of solo cups just get shot into the ring, you know, like they do on their entrance, but they get shot into the ring instead. And I was like, who set that up? Who like initiated that to happen? And also, surely that's got to be some sort of like outside interference, disqualification type. That's a foreign object right there. Probably not going to do any damage with it, but like that can interfere in the match. It's all over the ring.
It's just one of those moments where you go, right, this is why it's called sports entertainment, because this is why people stop watching it, because they're saying, well, it's not wrestling anymore. Because why would this happen in a wrestling match? I'm not going to mention other promotions, but like, can you imagine? I don't know this happening at a show, and then just halfway through, loads of poker chips just get flung into the ring. Like, it wouldn't happen, and because it's just silly.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you liked it, then I'm glad you also like to have fun.
Yeah. And I think the thing that really completed it for me was their music started playing as well. I was like, why? That happens when the match ends.
In a kayfabe world.
The match is still going.
They've gone, right. Why? So I'm going to hold a cup up during the match. And then I want you to play the music. And then the guy is going to shoot loads of cups into the ring, okay? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, Adam Pearce going, good, yeah. Oh, nice, good idea.
Yeah. But aside from that, the actual action was pretty good. I quite liked it.
Exactly, which is why you don't need any of this nonsense. Just have a good match.
Montez Ford had control, looked like he was going to win, going up for the frog splash. Rude on the outside starts attacking Dawkins, which distracts Ford. He gets knocked off the top rope into a super kick from Ziggler. He gets the pin. It's fine. I mean, losing in singles competition isn't the worst. I think losing a tag match as the tag champions is not great, but having them losing a singles match can set up a tag team championship match, which it is doing. I thought it was going to be at TLC, but no, they're doing it next week. So expect that to also finish in DQ, probably.
Yeah. Yes. They're doing the sort of similar thing on Raw where Kofi's losing. They're kind of tag champions are being beaten. I don't know whether that's just they're trying to sort of set up a, you are weak as a singles wrestler, but as a team, you're only good as a team. It's like, well, that's fine. I'm a tag team wrestler.
Former WWE champion Kofi Kingston, weak as a singles wrestler. Yep.
It's just where they go from here. Because if Street Profits win, which they probably will, are they just going to feud with Ziggler Rude going forward?
Yes.
Are they going to start feuding with Nakamura and Cesaro? Are they going to start feuding with Otis and Gable or the Lucha House Party, which just appears to be Kalisto in a hat now?
I think the other two are on Raw, are they not?
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, they are. Whatever.
So it's just Kalisto by himself now. But yeah, anyway, should be fine. Maybe. Mm. I think the reason they're doing so many tag teams losing is because they don't have any tag teams. So they're just doing, well, we need to make a feud out of something. Well, we've got to beat the champions, I guess. It's the only way to get fire in the feud, which is wrong, but hey-ho. Sami Zayn, backstage. He's mad that he doesn't have merch. He doesn't have a t-shirt. Everyone else has a t-shirt. What is going on with that? Big E walks in with his new merch t-shirt. And also, Apollo Crews, Kalisto, and Tamina are also there.
Yeah. New faction. Love it.
Best friends, those guys.
Mm.
Yep. They unveil an I Am Sami Zayn t-shirt, which is just a Sharpie drawing of a man and then I Am Sami Zayn underneath it. I kind of really want that t-shirt. Yeah.
Genuinely, that's one of my favorite wrestling merch or wrestling t-shirts for a while because the other ones are often rubbish. Something that you wouldn't wear unless you're at a wrestling show. Whereas just that shirt just looks like a kind of, oh, that's just a kind of weird design, but I can get on board with that. Yeah, exactly. I'd buy it.
And I would as well.
I wouldn't be surprised if in the next week that is on W.com.
It's a missed opportunity if it's not. Then after that, Sami Zayn comes out to the ring. Oh, there was a really cool bit when he says, well, I'll show you what I think of that. Takes the t-shirt and tries to rip it and he can't, which is funny. And then he comes out to the ring after an ad break. As they come back, I thought this was a really nice touch. Sammy's already talking in the ring, and the commentators are having to talk over him to be like, welcome back to SmackDown. Sammy's in the ring, he's talking, and Sammy's already just listing off why he's being disrespected and all that stuff. Classic Sami Zayn promo. He's great. We love him. And then Big E interrupts, and the two have a non-title match. So, this was weird for several reasons. So, firstly, the commentary put over my first note for this is that commentary putting over that this is Big E's first big move away from the New Day. Just going to break that down for a second. Because when it was him, when Woods was out with an injury, and it was just Big E and Kofi, Kofi got injured in kayfabe or otherwise, and was out for supposedly 6 weeks. It ended up being longer. But then there was dude, go for the singles push right now. You've got it in you. I give you my blessing. Go do everything you can in the singles division. That was in August.
Yes.
It's and December.
The draft was in October. And yeah. It's still December.
December.
Yeah. But don't worry, guys, because this match ended in him looking like an idiot.
Oh, okay. So Sami Zayn feigns an arm injury. He gets it was a pretty good match, good back and forth. Both of these guys are really good wrestlers. It was solid. And yeah, there was actually a pretty brutal bit where it started off being funny and then turned into a really cool spot where Sami Zayn went for a snapmare, but couldn't do it because Big E was too big. And then it ended up just kneeing him in the head, which was quite nice. I thought that was a cool spot. But yeah, Sami then takes an Uranagi from Big E as he was going for the Haluva kick. And then feigns, he already had like a wrap on his hand and he was like, oh no, my wrist, it's bad, whatever. Referee's kind of pulling Big E away to be like, no one needs to check on him kind of thing. And as he goes in, Sami just slaps Big E in the face, which makes him mad. And then he goes out the ring, runs to the outside. Big E chases him to the outside. He runs around the commentary table and like dips back on the outside by the barricade. And then he gets under the ring. And then Big E gets under the ring to try and chase him. Why would you ever do that? But then Sami gets out on the other side. Big E goes to get out on the other side and he's grabbing one of Sammy's feet. So Sami kicks him in the head, rightfully so. Big E lets go. And then Sami gets in the ring and Big E can't make the 10 count. Okay. So I know what they're trying to do with this, in that Sami Zayn is supposed to be the guy who can outsmart everyone. He's a very tricksy guy. He does very underhanded tactics and he keeps winning without really getting any pinfall or submission victories. He just wins by count out. He wins by DQ. He's just very sneaky or will find a really underhanded way to win or an illegal pin or something like that, right? I get that. You're just trying to put over he's very intelligent in the ring. And eventually when someone does like pin him when he's trying to run away or he's run out of ideas or options and someone just gets a big pinfall victory, takes the Intercontinental title off him, that's a big feel-good moment. Yeah, great. Awesome. Problem is, in the process, you're making your baby faces look really, really dumb. Because this slap that makes Big E mad, why would that make Big E mad? He's just been kneed in the head. He's just done a match for ages. Shake it off, mate. So what? He slapped you. Deal with it. And even if you're angry and he's gone under the ring, just get back in the ring. He's the one that's going to be counted out. This makes me mad.
Yeah, there really is. It's like the word bitch in WWE. Slapping someone is the physical equivalent of that. Because the moment you say it, or the moment you say bitch, you know that they're like, slap someone. It's the same kind of response, like, oh my God, you've just kicked me in the head and you've put me through a table. But did you just slap me?
Mm-hmm.
That's disrespectful. So, yeah, it makes Big E look just like he's having a tantrum, which is silly, because at what point has Big E ever been a character who's having a tantrum? Like, when Big E gets fired up, that's when Big E's at his best. You don't want his firing up to turn into, oh yeah, big angry man who gets upset at little things like a slap. And it's not like, I like you say, I get why they did it, but every time that Sami has been in a match that he hasn't won via DQ or count out, he has taken the pin. So he's not over as a wrestler.
Nah.
So all that it says on Big E's record now is that he lost via count out to Sami Zayn. Doesn't put him over. It like Sami is as over as he's going to be in this character. We've got another week of this. I don't think that's enough time to build it. I do think that they're just going to hotshot the title to Big E to be like, hey, look, we're pushing him.
Yeah.
And then Sammy's going to drop down the card again.
Maybe. I don't know. It just annoys me because you've got a really good story if you want to tell it right, but they're just not, because you're not getting your baby faces over along the way, which is sort of the point. Anyway, I could talk about that for much longer. I'm not going to. Backstage, Bayley is saying that she hopes that Carmella beats Sasha Banks tonight. And then she starts mouthing off Bianca Belair. Bianca comes in behind her backstage, and she's like, oh, you still have my name in your mouth. Why? And then she says she has actual physical receipts that prove why she's the EST, and she was the last one at Survivor Series for Team SmackDown, where the captain got pinned first. She beat Natalya, not Bayley. Stuff like that. And then Bayley walks off. This was bad content, but Bianca's a really good promo.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say. Yeah.
That's all I can really say about this match, this feud. I just want them to have a match now. I don't think I'm going to be more excited about the match because I'm not particularly excited about it, but I think they're good. They can have a really good match.
Totally. Yes. They can have a very good match. I'm looking forward to it because I think it'll be a good match because they're both very good. The few that they've told on TV hasn't been great, is what I'll say.
However,
what's
next?
Yeah, it is. It's always my favorite part of the show because genuinely it's the best bloody story they've been telling in years. Love this stuff. So we get a recap of Roman Reigns, Jey Uso and Kevin Owens from last week, where they assaulted Kevin after the match with chairs, and then Roman turned on Jey and just started smashing him with a chair as well. They were watching it backstage on a TV, which was nice. And then Jey very kind of like timidly walks over to Roman. He's like, "Hey man, are we good? Are we okay? And Roman's like, yeah, we're good. I'm good. Are you good? Your family good?" I was like, Roman's so, what a dick. I love him. Just acting as if like nothing's happened is great. And then while they're still talking there, Kevin Owens makes his entrance that they're watching on the TV. As he's coming out, Jey then turns to Roman. He's like, I want to get him. Can I go get him? And Roman's just like, you know where he is. Go get him. So this time, Jey has now asked Roman permission beforehand. He's given the sign-off, essentially. So he's doing what he says this time.
Very good. What I really liked was that the whole sort of Roman acting as if nothing had happened. Because in his character's heel mind, nothing has happened. That's just what happens if you get on, if you don't, respect him. You get beaten up. That's just what happens. And to him, that's just in his character. And anyone who disrespects him will get the same thing. They're showing that with Kevin Owens. He's disrespected Roman. They've shown it with anyone else who Roman has faced since he came back. But if you disrespect him, you're going to get put into the ground. These lessons that Jay's learning. Like he's learned now. I now have to ask Roman because I don't want that to happen again. And it just makes Roman look like such a threat. Like you want him to look like a threat and he looks like the biggest threat on the entire roster, just without any shadow of a doubt. So Kevin comes out, he sets up the two chairs, ha ha ha, two C's. Jey comes out, but then is kind of Kevin fights back, puts him through a table, and you're like, wow, that was a really cool angle. I really like that. But then it just got better.
I think there is a bit you skipped over there because Kevin Owens did cut a promo just before that, before Jey attacked him, which I thought was really good. I think it just really put over what a great promo Kevin Owens is, because I think in another person's hands, this could have come off as really goofy because he started off just being like, I also fight for my family. I can relate to that. But what's really happening is your family's fighting for you. You're not fighting for them, which is a great line. And then he started talking about how the tables, the table, the ladder and the chairs are like his best friends and they're going to help him beat Roman, which sounds really bad when I say it now, but the fire and the passion he had behind it. And he's like, chairs are cold and unforgiving. They're going to get you bruised up like you bruised me up last week. They're going to make you pay for every chair shot that I've taken. This table right here, I'm going to put you through this. This is another one of my best friends. This ladder, this is going to be the one that's going to help me become the Universal Champion again. It's like, it sounds, the content, the words sound very bad, but Kevin just does them in such a way that he really puts across his passion and his fire. He's such a good promo.
What was sad was when he said again, and I went, oh yeah.
Yeah.
He was Universal Champion, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. How did that one end again? But then as he was doing that, I legitimately jumped when this happened because I was really I was watching intently for Kevin's promo. I was really invested in it. He climbs up the ladder and he's saying he's going to be Universal Champion again. He goes, and there's one more thing, Roman. You know that, and then suddenly out of nowhere, Jey Uso comes in with a chair and just smashes him. And I was like, oh God, I was genuinely so invested in what Kevin was saying. I forgot that Jey was coming out, which legitimately made me jump, which is funny. But yeah, cuts to backstage, Roman smiling, watching as Jay's beating up Kevin. But as you say, Kevin comes back, beats up Jay, pop-up powerbomb through the table, which was a really nice spot. Then you go, okay, Kevin's beating off Jay. Cool. Very nice. Roman's music hits. You're like, oh, no. I'm sorry, Kevin. This isn't going to go well for you, bud.
Kevin's beating up Jay. But what I also liked is that it's the kayfabe world where Kevin... I keep calling him Kevin. Owens hasn't seen this chat between Jay and Roman, but we have. That's what we want as an audience. We want to know more than the guy in the ring.
Yes.
We don't want it to be Roman, would you, like on the big screen, Kevin's watching, Owens is just watching it, and it's just, I'm going to go out and attack him. And then I was just like, it's so much more effective that like Owens had no idea this was coming. And the,
exactly.
the time of the, and one more, and yeah.
Yeah, it was also good because they had the conversation while Owens was making his entrance. So there's no way that he could have known they were talking about it, kind of thing. It's not like it was predetermined earlier in the night or whatever. It was really well done. But then I've loved everything so far in this segment. And then this just built into this next bit because Roman comes out, hands the title off to Paul Heyman and looks like he's going to go down and start beating up Kevin Owens. As Heyman's taking the title, we finally hear something from Heyman that's like an actual like counsel and advice for Roman. And he's like, you're the head of the table. You're the tribal chief. You call the shots. If you go down there, you're doing things on his terms. Who's he? He's Kevin Owens. You're Roman Reigns. You're the head of the table. You call the shots. So then Roman's like, he doesn't look at Heyman this whole time, but he just silently takes the title back, puts it on his shoulder and walks off. I was like, I love this. This is great. Heyman just actually offering advice and Roman taking the advice is like an extra layer to this already intricate story that they're telling. And it was awesome.
And then he looks even smarter because then Owens is like, well, I'm not having that. Goes backstage looking for Roman, but he's just blind. Once again, he's blindsided. And this is how you make like a babyface not look stupid, because yeah, he's angry, but he's fired up and he's not just been slapped. He's looking for Roman to fight because he feels like he's been disrespected and he's just been hit by a chair, which is a reason to be pissed off. Mm-hmm. But then he gets blindsided again by Roman, who just beats him down, and then cuts this just scathing promo about Owen's family.
So
and
good.
this is the kind of family promo that you want. It's not, you are taking money off my table, I cannot feed my family. It's that Samoa Joe-esque kind of, oh, Wendy, that kind of, I like it.
Yeah, so good. Just for anyone who hasn't seen it, the promo in question, he starts looking down the camera directly while Kevin Owens is kind of on the floor trying to get to his feet in the background and failing. Roman's just staring directly down the camera and addresses Owens' family and just being like, hey, I don't think we've been formally introduced. I'm Roman Reigns. I'm the head of the table. I was like, I like where this is going. And then he's just saying like, look, if you don't talk some sense into your husband, and he kind of looks back at him, if you don't talk some sense into daddy, I'm going to be the one that takes the food off your table. I was like, oh my God, you did not need to go that hard, Roman. The guy's already been beaten up. Yeah. And then he just kind of kicks him in the head and walks off. And I was like, that whole segment from start to finish was beautifully done. So, so good. Like the timing for everything, the content of the promos, the delivery. Oh, love it so much. It was great.
Yeah. And then we got...
And then we got Riot Squad versus Natalya and Billy Kay, which wasn't great.
Which, whatever. Billy Kay comes out with a piece of paper saying, here's me. And then Natalya goes, whatever. And then they have a miscommunication and the Riot Squad win.
Yep.
And then Otis and Chad Gable have a match against Nakamura and Cesaro.
Yep. Backstage, Cesaro and Nakamura are mocking Chad Gable's height.
No one's done that before. Very personal to Pete. You've got to stop doing this.
It's so... Chad Gable's not even that short. Guys, stop mocking Chad Gable's height. He's not even short.
Especially now, especially as he's done that whole I'm no longer Shorty G.
Right.
That's when the height jokes have got to stop, because otherwise it's just I'm not Shorty G. Oh, no, but you are though.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, nothing's changed.
So annoying. Also, Natalya and Billy Kay. Why are Billy Kay and Peyton Royce doing tag team things but separately? Doesn't make any sense. Speaking of, why is Otis got rid of Tucker? Well, Tucker got rid of Otis, but you know what I mean. Otis is a single star now. Nope, he's teaming with Chad Gable. Why is he doing tag team things but without his tag team partner? WWE angers me sometimes. Yes, the match itself. There was about 30 seconds of this where Chad Gable and Cesaro just did some mat wrestling. I was like, give me more of that. I want that. Do that, but on a pay-per-view for a whole match. I love that. But then it stopped and I got very sad. I really liked the story they were telling in this match. It was really fun. Good in-ring action. All four of them actually pretty good in-ring wrestlers. Even Otis, who's, you know, potentially weaker than the others. I still say it's a really good wrestler. Really enjoyed some of the moves he was doing here. Also, a bit we skipped over, they had a little training montage, which was on Instagram, of Otis training for the Alpha Academy and all that, which was fine. It wasn't that funny, necessarily. You would have thought it would have had a bit more comedy, but it was okay. But then the finish for this match comes when Otis is lining up for the Caterpillar. Gable asks for the tag in, and then immediately gets caught in the swing, hits a Kinshasa, and then loses. And then backstage afterwards, he says, well, it's a great learning experience. You know, I asked for the tag in. You shouldn't have tagged me in. It was just a test and you failed. But it's fine. We can learn from it. Let's move on. I was like, I don't know what the story is here, but I want to see more of Chad Gable. So that's fine.
Delusional teacher
thing, I guess,
which will end up in Otis squashing.
Yeah, I guess so. Otis is just going to beat him and get rid of him.
See, I think I've frozen.
You did freeze for quite some time.
Sorry, I did freeze. My entire screen just froze. I was like,
but that's fine. After that, we got the final thing in the show before the main event was we got a recap of Murphy versus Corbin last week. And then we got a name for Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler, who have now joined King Corbin, which is the Knights of the Lone Wolf, which is all right.
Steve Cutler looks pretty cool. I have never seen anyone look worse in a hoodie than Wesley Blake. He just looks really strange. I don't know. I don't know if it's because he's shaved and it doesn't look like Wesley Blake anymore. But if you just showed me that guy in a hoodie, I'd go, yeah, that doesn't work. I know that's really like a pretty nitpick, like aesthetic thing, but I just think he looks really strange in a hoodie.
I also just think, in general, their getup isn't great. Like,
no.
The jackets with the hoodie is kind of weird.
I really hope that they don't start wearing like chainmail or something.
Ooh,
like, yeah.
Why would you even suggest that?
Because he's a knight and Corbin wears a crown and he's got a little scepter. So I wouldn't be surprised they turn up with like swords. Like they could ask Drew.
Yeah.
For the
ask Vince for the sword. Yeah.
Anyway, let's not put that into the universe.
And Cutler, the interviewer comes up to speak to Corbin and Cutler stops her and has like the security wand thing and just kind of runs her over with the security wand. And I was like, what is your gimmick?
Yes. What?
Like,
why does that make you a knight? And also, what's the interviewer going to have? It's like going to go, oh, and then she just pulls out a gun and goes, yes, sorry.
Also, the thing went off. It was beeping on her because she had metal stuff on. He goes, yeah, right, off you go. Yeah. Like, well, what were you checking for then?
I mean, because ladies have wires in play, like metal parts in their undergarments. So it's going to go off. So what was the point of it? Especially if you go zap, bing. Oh, she's got metal on her. Well, that's fine.
Cool. On you go. That was weird, wasn't it? Anyway, Knights of the Lone Wolf, I think, is a fine name. There's definitely worse things it could have been. And I'm still slightly optimistic for Blake and Cutler. There we go.
Better than Dogs of War. And that's all you
Much
can ask
Much better than
for.
Dogs of War. Better but, than the Death Triangle.
Yes. This show was below average.
Correct.
But the bits that were good were really good. The main bit, the Roman stuff, is still amazing.
Yeah.
And then there were some bits which were good in ring, like the Street Profits and the Shinsuke tag match. That was good.
And even Carmella Banks.
And even the Carmella stuff, that's good. But there are just lots of little things that keep being like,
It's just let down by bad finishes and bad booking.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, like if we still had a five level scale, I might go just about a 3 out of 5. But because we don't, I think I've got to go 2 out of 4.
Yes, 2 out of 4 for this one. Absolutely. I might have done a 3, but I might have done a 2. It's somewhere in that range, because as great as the Roman stuff is, and it does really elevate the show, it is only part of the show, and the rest of it isn't as good.
Yeah, and because it's so good, it just makes you sit there and go, why isn't the rest of it this good? Because exactly, they can do it.
Yeah. This is what a real story looks like. So I've got a nice email here from a lad called Jack, who's emailed in before. Hey, guys, Jack the Moist Sensation here. He's back again. Just dropping by to let you know how much arse you kick. After hearing about how you're raising money for Al Mustafa, I had to give a little donation.
Well, thank you very much, Jack. Yes, no, I will thank you right off the bat. No, I'm very close to my goal. So if anyone wants to push me over my goal, then whoever does, I'll think of some reward.
Yeah, totally. He goes on to say, my wife and I spent 7 months traveling through Southeastern Asia from Sri Lanka to Japan by land where we could, staying in people's homes and eating locally. We saw firsthand what you're raising money for and even helped teaching at a local school in Battambang in Cambodia. The classes were mixed age and we found ourselves relying on the help from the older kids to teach the youngsters, but we helped with spelling, etc. Poverty in some areas was rife. The long and short is that Andy is a hero.
Well, that's a lovely, that's a lovely email. Thank you very much. No, it makes the pain in my ankles hurt much less when I hear stuff like that. No, it's very nice, and it's an incredibly wonderful charity. So if you haven't checked it out, people listening, then the Al Mustafa Welfare Trust are doing some amazing work, particularly in Pakistan, which is a place close to my heart for many reasons. Just helping orphans, sick people, people who don't have a home, pretty much everyone get a bit of a better lot in life, which is very important. So thank you very much Jack
and you've done some great work with your whole walking and stuff. So if you haven't checked out Andy's charity thing, do go check out his Twitter at andy.nwt and go and donate if you've not yet, because it is a very good cause. This is a two-part email, so I'll read out the second half.
It's not all this gushing towards me.
Second half is a snack lash.
Ooh.
Which we've not had in a while.
In some ways, that's more important.
I know, yeah. So for anyone who's new listening to the podcast here, the snack lash is an unusual food combination that you stand by and say, no, this is delicious, despite it sounding disgusting on the surface. So we've got one here. It says, as a quick snack lash, I'm known amongst my friends and family as a Twiglet devourer who mixes Marmite sticks with everything. Each Christmas, that bowl full of Twiglets on the table spread you all avoid gets on my lap and stays there until it is empty and I'm in a post-coital-esque state. Twiglets in Greg's vegan pasties is particularly divine, but gets the strangest stares. Also, Marmite mixed in with gravy spread on chips. Try it, you may love it. Half a teaspoon, don't overpower the gravy. I bloomin' love Marmite. Keep jamming that jam, quizzing those quizzes, and hiking those hikes.
Well, honestly, Jack, you can have your money back, because that is, you've gone way past anything.
Gone off the deep end there, mate.
That's horrible. I mean, I despise Twiglets. I think they are flipping rank. They just turn. It just tastes like you've ripped bark off a tree and you're just licking it. It has. I mean, they are worse than Marmite. I don't really like Marmite, but if it's like you have to have plain toast or Marmite, I might be like, okay, well, I'll have Marmite so there's a flavor, even if it's not a pretty nice one. But dipping it in pasties.
Mm.
I mean, one of my flatmates is a big Marmite lover. There's a Marmite peanut butter which you can get. Two things I don't like. My girlfriend is has gone home for the kind of the Christmas period, and she messaged me to say, I can't find any big jars of Marmite for my uncle. Can you grab some? So I was already in Sainsbury's, the local supermarket, and I managed to grab a couple of things. But I felt everyone looking at me going, "Oh, why is he buying Marmite?" And I'm like, "It's not for me. I'm not eating it. I swear."
Oh God, I hate Marmite so much. I don't get along with it at all. I hate the smell. I hate the look of it. I hate the taste. It's just not good.
It's an incredibly polarizing snack.
Yeah, it is. Hence the tagline.
Yes, you either love it or you hate it, or you think it's okay, but you'd rather have jam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that email, Jack.
Yeah, you disgusting, disgusting man. No wonder you get so many weird looks. I bet your name is spelled like J-A-K-H as well. Like some kind of psychopath. Speaking of psychopaths, people who stole PlayStations from warehouses and drivers and things like that, they're all the worst. But it happened to my older brother. When I say older brother, it happened to my only brother. I have one.
Yes.
He ordered it for delivery on the day the PlayStation came out, and it turned up, and it was a piece of packing tape and some like a weighing scales. But the only positive of this was that although he got a replacement from a colleague who happened to get two because his girlfriend got one as well, what it did mean was that Amazon messaged him to say, well, as soon as we get them back in stock, we can reserve one for you if that's what you would like. And I said, well, I was going to buy one anyway, probably next year. So I'll take it, because then it means I don't have to kind of worry about checking stock all the time. So I've now got it, and I've celebrated by buying Crash Bandicoot, the N-Sane trilogy, which, interestingly, is the remaster of the first video game I ever played in my entire life. Aged three, my dad bought my brother and I a PlayStation 1. Was it called a PlayStation 1 back then? Or was it just called the PlayStation?
Okay. No, it was the PlayStation, and then it became, I think, the PlayStation 1, and then it was the PS1, and they're different variations of the same thing, I think.
Okay. I actually still have a PS1 and a PS2, but then I went to Xbox 360 and then Xbox One, but now I've gone back to PlayStation because I prefer its range of kind of, what's it called, unique games, the games only. Exclusive games, exactly.
You're all about exclusives. You do wrestling news, mate.
Yeah, I know. I just always, whenever I go to tell people about that thing, why I chose PlayStation, I always forget the word exclusive. So yeah, I got that, and I've been playing it. And it turns out that I was just a much better gamer when I was three, because I'm really, really struggling. I keep falling down holes, getting hit by rocks.
I've heard the Insane Trilogy is actually quite hard. Don't feel too bad.
No, well, I got a bunch of other ones, because with PlayStation you get this thing called PlayStation Plus for a few extra pounds a month, and you get like a bunch of games for free, basically. So I've got God of War, Modern Warfare, Ratchet and Clank, Spyro, all the kind of games which I've wanted to play for the last 3 years but couldn't because I had an Xbox One. I'm going to wait to buy Cyberpunk until it's actually playable. Because my brother's got it, and he says it's really weird because it's a bunch of glitches, and it was made for PS4, even though the PS5 came out before it, and so the graphics aren't quite there, and also there's some kind of glitch with your penis, because you can pick your penis size, small, medium, large. Like, even if you had a small penis, why would you go on a game and be honest about it? Like, oh, do you know what? Yeah,
I don't know, man.
I'm going to be really honest.
You could go, I'm going to go for the small penis option to see what dialogue options that changes. See if people like notice in the game, you know?
You got much longer answers because you've got to like make up for the fact that... I don't know if people know, but like, so I think Cyberpunk, there's quite a little sort of body modification is kind of one of the big parts of the game. But I don't exactly know what the glitch is. I'm sure someone enlightened me, but there's some kind of genital glitch, which is better than a genital itch. So I'm going to wait to get that. But then there's games that are coming out next year, which I will buy immediately, like the Hogwarts, whatever it's called, Legacy. Which is, have you not seen that?
I think I've seen it.
It's like an open world Harry Potter game where you are. It's not like the old Harry Potter games, which were the worst. One and two, are good, and then
thank you.
And then, one and two is one of the greatest games, a couple of the greatest games of all time, especially the first one where you just shouted Flipendo at everything.
Flipendo.
Have you seen the video of the alternate ending to the last Harry Potter film?
No, don't think so.
No, okay. Well, fill for time. I'm going to show you on screen. People are going to listen to it as well.
Are we going to get DMCA striked?
I don't think so.
It'll be fine. So
those games. But like, I remember buying the Half Blood Prince game, and I finished it in about an hour because it was so rubbish.
I stopped after Goblet of Fire. I thought Prisoner of Azkaban was actually pretty good. I quite liked the game. But then, I played Goblet of Fire, and I was like, that's a bit pants.
For people who don't know Flipendo, it's not really in Harry Potter canon.
Not a spell.
In the game. It is in, I think, the extended kind of Pottermore universe, the Wizarding World, as it's now called. You basically did it for everything. It was to push things, to lift things, to move things to the side, to flip paintings,
attack enemies,
and basically dubbed it over Harry shouting Flipendo from the game over the final scene of the Deathly Hallows Part 2, where
very good.
I won't spoil it, but where Harry and Voldemort are having a fight. So there are a bunch of games next year. It's just I wish games were less expensive. I bought one of my girlfriend's Christmas presents, I bought us Animal Crossing on the Switch to play. She's basically taken over and is just going to play on her own now. But it's fun. But it's like, it was still £50 and it's been out for ages. And I was like,
For starters, Animal Crossing just got nominated for Game of the Year. Didn't win, but got nominated for Game of the Year. So it's already going to have Last of Us Part 2. That's at the Game Awards, I should say. And so it's already going to be kind of in the news cycle a bit more anyway. Also, more importantly, it's a Nintendo game, and Nintendo games never go down in price, ever.
Yeah,
it's Pokemon absurd.
X. Is it X? No, Pokemon Sword and Shield are still the same price as they were when they came out.
It came out, what, last November?
Something like that. And also, they don't go down in price ever, because you can try and buy like Pokemon Blue, which was the first one ever, it's still the same price.
Even stuff like the Gen 5 games, like Pokemon Black and White, are still like 25-30 quid. It's like, how?
You've got to really keep an eye on those sales, because Black Friday I spotted that Animal Crossing was £30 and I hadn't decided to buy it, and then I realized that we'd played a couple of games together. We played Trine. We played just that Snippy mm-hmm. Snippy Clips. We've played a few games together, and I thought we could get one that's less aggravating, because we played Snippy Clips. And what's the other one that pisses people off? Oh, Overcooked. We played that, and it's not that we were arguing, but there were a couple of times where we got annoyed at each other because I was trying to explain something, but it's actually quite difficult because it's like, no, you cut me there on that side with the pointy bit of so I thought, let's get something really wholesome that is very, very hard to get annoyed at, and it worked. It's a wonderfully wholesome game.
You saying you can't get annoyed at Animal Crossing? Oof.
I'm sure. I clearly haven't tried yet, but because I don't have two sets of Joy-Cons, because a set of Joy-Cons is £60.
Yeah.
We basically, I was doing the actions and she was doing all the movement.
Incredible. So
that was
that sounds like you just made Animal Crossing more aggravating than it needs to be.
But it was fine because we communicated well. We've been together for nearly 2 years now. We've just about got to the level where we can have a chat without getting really angry at each other. So that's good. But she's back for Christmas. But thankfully, my friend is currently looking for love. That is not an advert, by the way. Don't email in. and she's going to give me access to her her dating account so that I can find her a boyfriend. Because she can't.
She's really disingenuous.
Because she can't be bothered. But I find it really fun to.
So you're catfishing people, is what you're saying.
One of my best friend's boyfriends doesn't know this, and they're now engaged. But I was the person who started their first conversation.
Because you're a catfish expert.
I'm not a catfish because I am actually no because I'm claiming to be my friend, but the friend I know what my friend wants clearly because they're now engaged. And they've got a house and a dog and two cats. So
anyway,
if anyone wants me to look after their dating accounts, drop me an email, andy@wrestletalk.com, and I will find you love within a week, guaranteed.
You should never say that one. Also, if you want to email in just any random stuff to us, Snacklash, Dats and World Problems.
Oh, yeah, if you've got a stupid name.
Any sort of appreciation for us to inflate our egos, anything like that, email in support@wrestletalk.com and hopefully we'll read out your emails.
And if you want to appear on our Christmas show in any way, you can send in a little video clip, voice clip, an email to support@wrestletalk.com. Luke will pick the best ones and you may well appear in our annual Christmas special, which is traditionally the worst show we put out every single year.
Bad.
But this time round, it is going to be Ollie, Luke, myself, Pete, Laurie, and Adam, I believe. We'll also be doing our Secret Santa, which will be part of it. So,
No, but
Luke's going to clip it in and then put it on the end, I believe.
Oh, God, is he really? Wow, that's going to be okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Sure. Yep,
12, 13 people doing Secret Santa. That is entertainment.
That's going to go so well. 12 or 13 people on Zoom. That's going to be awesome. Right. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. We've gone way over on podcast. We've been doing that a lot lately. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. We appreciate you all so much in the lead up to Christmas. Stay safe out there. We love you very much. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.